Bloomberg Radio.
Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank.
And I'm Reba Haas of Team Reba, RE/MAX Metro Eastside.
That's right. We're every week, every Tuesday at 3 o'clock, we're here talking about real estate and finance. And with us today, we have Sean Martin from the Rental Housing Association of Washington. Thanks for joining us again, Sean.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Hey, question. So your site, we were talking about some of the services that your site offers, including tenant screening and forms. You're doing legal advocacy for landlords. With the site also, you've got a huge series of events going on. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So we have a lot of different membership events. Well, some are membership only, some are open to everyone. Tonight, even down in Tacoma and up in Everett, we've got a couple going on that are called supper clubs. It's kind of a networking thing. People can sit around the table if they want to get food, drinks, whatever, and there's usually some topical discussion, and it just kind of turns into a free open forum. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a good way for people to get their feet wet if they're maybe considering, hey, what's interesting about RHA? Am I interested in even joining, or just meeting some other contacts?
What would be like a topical discussion?
So it could be, well, like January, kind of the lead into that was what's going on legislatively, because right. The sessions started up at that point. Mm-hmm. So what are the most recent things that have happened that are impacting landlords as far as landlord-tenant law? What's coming down the pipe? Mm-hmm. In Olympia and all of that. There's different things, you know, different aspects of renting. If it's like a move-in kind of theme where we're talking about, you know, what are things to consider at the time of move-in, not talking about, you know, advertising or lease signing, but maybe more property preparation and things like that. So
right. It
really just kind of shifts from month to month. We try to kind of keep it relevant to where we're at during the year because there are some, you know,
that's a lot of best practices, it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, a lot of best practice stuff.
That's pretty fantastic, because especially if you don't have that much experience and you're trying to build it up, or you're thinking over time you want to get more of these opportunities for passive income, you know, I think there's a lot of people getting back into the idea of investing in real estate. Sometimes I think they're maybe a few years late, at least if they were looking at, you know, stronger appreciation timelines. But I've had more interest in the last 12 months than I had in the last, you know, 3 years prior, just because most people during the recession just were kind of either trying to get out of it or were just stuck in it and not doing the same things they were before. But now I have a lot more folks. And then, of course, you know, meeting people from China who are coming in. You know, I was just touring properties yesterday, and they're not only looking for themselves for living there, but they want to know what the rental potential is when they're done being here.
Yeah. Yeah. That part of the market's been kind of unique, actually, because we haven't seen, as far as if we're talking about out of state, out of country investors, they generally don't join RHA, but we've had some legislative problems that have arisen from people that are, you know, from out of country, from China, like around college campuses in Bellevue and
yep.
Yeah, cutting up properties and things like that. That's become a challenge for the industry locally. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, because there is a lot of talk on the real estate side of things about all that money coming in, and a lot of the real estate agents don't necessarily have any experience themselves with rental property. And so they don't think about, you know, when they're selling these properties, maybe putting some of this information in front of these folks to say, you know, because, you know, the conversation I had yesterday had a lot to do with, yes, there are a lot of property rights and we have strong property ownership here because it's very different than being in China, and, you know, how you can buy, even Canada, and my Canadian clients, we talk about the differences of, you know, what you can do and what you can't and how the financing works. And, you know, so we were getting into the conversation about what could she possibly do. And she was looking at some condo townhomes. One has a kind of a bigger association and one does not. And of course that one looks more appealing because they're thinking about the, what if we want to rent out a room while my husband's here working? It's like, well, okay, can do that, maybe.
Yeah.
But we got to find out.
Let's look at the fine print.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Yep. Exactly. So they were comparing single family compared to something that had an association. And then, of course, rental caps. And, you know, there's just a lot to consider all the time.
Yeah, there is. And that's HOAs, that's city zoning laws and things like that. And then you have, you know, layers of city landlord-tenant laws on top of that. There's a lot of stuff to consider that, you know, if you're someone new or out of country, out of area, that just not, we're a resource for that. But yeah, that's a lot for people to consider and think about. And it's pretty tough to sort through all of it on your own.
So the newsletters you guys send out are another great resource, I think, because given that every municipality may have different rules, you know, from, you know, because people think statewide, okay, they may not think about the different citywide issues, right? Because I was just at a meeting this morning. I'm on the Renton board of, for the Chamber of Commerce, and we also have a business development committee meeting that I was part of. And this morning I was listening to some conversation that I didn't realize Tukwila had a similar rental inspection program as what the city of Seattle had instituted.
Yeah.
And then they were discussing, oh, and there's some other cities that are considering. I know Everett has considered it at one time. I don't know if it's there. But that's one of the ways I can try and keep up at least a little bit with all the changes is by reading what you guys send out.
Why don't we expand on that too? Because mm-hmm. some of our listeners might not be aware that there is such a requirement. Mm-hmm. Sean, can you kind of fill us in a little bit on that?
On the inspection side. Well, right. So the city of Seattle, and this is, it comes from the newspaper all the way up mm-hmm. to, you know, getting information out to membership. And we hear this a lot from people in the industry is, I own a place in Tukwila, mm-hmm. for example. Maybe they would have said this 7 years ago, not now. I own a place in Vancouver. They might have said that 6 months ago, but not now. Because all of these local jurisdictions outside, you get outside the Seattle metro area, people think, well, this stuff's Seattle. They're crazy. It's left wing. My place isn't going to, I don't have to worry about this, inspections. Mm-hmm. And, you know, lo and behold, in Tukwila, you have a mandatory inspections program inspired by Seattle. In Vancouver, you have increased tenant protections, changes in rent increase notices and termination mm-hmm. of tenancy rules because of Seattle. So we have the monthly newspaper where all this stuff is in there, you know, all the mm-hmm. time. It's always changing. It's fluid. We have the email stuff that we supplement as mm-hmm. well just to get out the information on it. But it's a great resource for folks that are looking to keep up on things. If you don't want to join RHA, if you don't own rental property, you're thinking about getting in, you can even join as an affiliate member just to get the paper, and pick it up that way. But, it's always evolving. I mean, things are always changing, and to think that, you know, well, Seattle's talking about, rent control resolution or an inspections program, that's not going to touch me. It's, you know, pretty foolish these days. So in Seattle, there's the rental inspection program. It's still kind of going through the registration process. Right. It's for all units. Nobody's exempt unless you are, surprise, government-run housing. You know, I like to throw that one in there. we're doing registrations. We're doing inspections have started up for the larger properties. Mm-hmm. Take a look.
My husband happens to be certified as one of those inspectors.
Okay.
He's been very busy with that.
Yeah, I've heard
year.
That there's four people that have done about half of the inspections for the city.
And eventually every rental home will have to be inspected, right?
Every one of them, yeah. There's no exceptions unless you've already gotten maybe a comparable Section 8 inspection for, you know, mm-hmm. certain circumstances if you're participating in that program. So we're still getting through it, but Tukwila does have a mandatory program. They've had that since 2010. You've got Mount Lake Terrace has one. Pasco, Washington is kind of the ground zero for all of this, with the Supreme Court saying their program was legal, and that's kind of where it all grew from.
Oh,
they've
really?
Had one.
I didn't
yeah.
know that. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
So it's kind of a strange thing. You see these popping up in areas you wouldn't really think that there's a large inventory.
Yeah.
You know, Bellingham,
mm-hmm.
Washington, places like that where it's kind of like, huh. Everett thought about it. We went up there and talked some sense into him up there. But, it's a big thing for people to think about. And if you didn't know you're supposed to register, take a look at the website, seattle.gov.
I talk all the time that comes up with people, and they're like, what are we talking about now? And I'm just like, you got to register. And a lot of these folks who are kind of feeling that way typically are the ones who have single-family homes.
Yeah.
They're not the folks with the big apartment
Correct.
Buildings who are
right.
getting kind of reached out to. I think.
Yeah. I mean, there's a difference between walking down the street and pointing to the brick apartment out the window mm-hmm. here versus a single
right.
family home in the neighborhood. And that's, I think, what we're going to see in the long run here as the compliance kicks in, and we have the registrations finished up at the end of this year. I think we're going to see that a lot of inventory is not registered or
right.
based on what the census counts say that we should have. Because those single family owners, you know, they're mm-hmm. out of state, out of country owners, or they're renting an ADU mm-hmm. and, you know, they're not a member of RHA and it's.
Does an ADU count for that?
ADUs
too?
Are supposed to be registered. Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we were just having a show the other day
a few weeks
two
ago.
Two weeks ago.
We
had
a builder on talking about building new ADUs and, mm-hmm. DADUs.
Okay.
And
so if you're going to do it in the city of Seattle, be prepared.
Be prepared. Do the inspection. Register it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a lot of these changes coming up, and let's say that you've got a landlord who gets into trouble. You know, they've got a problem with a tenant already. They maybe haven't completed a proper screening, that sort of thing. How can you help them?
I could give you a good referral to an eviction attorney.
There you go.
There you go.
If it's to that point, hopefully it's not past the point of no return, which would be doing that. But we have a resource desk. You know, if people join as a member, mm-hmm. you can call in and get the next closest thing to free legal with some folks that have property management experience and have done it hands-on themselves. So that's, you know, a place to start. But if the tenant hasn't paid rent for a month kind of a thing, and what am I supposed to do? And then they call us up. You know, that's not uncommon. There's the process to walk through with the 3-day to pay or vacate and mm-hmm. all of that. And hopefully they come back into compliance and everything's okay. But a lot of the times, the really bad situations are, I have a tenant who hasn't paid rent for 6 months, and I'm at risk of going into foreclosure. Right. What should I do at this point? And that is, sorry, you're going to court, and not mm-hmm. only are you probably never going to see that rent, you're probably going to have to pay $1,500 for an attorney, and wait another month to 2 months, and that's why the screening up front, very important.
Oh, absolutely,
part of it, for sure.
Yeah. I've been through plenty of my own nightmarish. I don't get to self-manage most of my buildings. I have some properties in another state, and often decisions for the rentals are being made without my consent. So there have been many, many times I've been burned, regardless of the fact that sometimes we have a screening process that's supposed to be in place. I recall having the, but she promised not to do that
right.
to
you,
us.
You do have a relative who wants
to be a
social worker.
She looked me straight in the eye. I know. Yes. I was like, God love you, but stop
the,
it.
The George,
stop it.
George Bush Putin. I looked in his eye and that's the handshake thing. Yeah. I mean, that might have worked 50 years ago.
I think as
not
a landlord,
anymore.
You know, many of us have made that mistake. Please, 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 if you don't rent to me, I'll be out on the street, and mm-hmm. you can't do that to me. And
yeah.
Oh man, it rarely, rarely ends well when that comes up.
Yeah.
We're here with Sean Martin from the Rental Housing Association of Washington. Call us if you have questions for Sean, 866-712-1300. Stay tuned. We'll be back on KKOL 1300 Business Radio.
Got a question? Call it in. 866-712-1300.